Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Bharat Petroleum Corporation Limited Q4 FY21 earnings conference call hosted by IIFL Capital Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshvardhan Dole from IIFL Capital Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Greetings, everyone. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I welcome you all for the fourth quarter FY21 earnings call of BPCL. To discuss the performance in detail and share the outlook on operations in the subsequent quarters, we have the senior management team of BPCL. Today, we have Mr. Vijay Gopal, Director of Finance, Mrs. Sirisa Naidu, ED Corporate Treasury, Mr. V.R.K. Gupta, CGM Corporate Finance, Ms. Jenny T.L., DGM Pricing and Insurance, Mr. Girwar Bhattad, Senior Manager, Pricing and Insurance, and Mr. Piyush Borania, Senior Manager, Pricing and Insurance. I'd like to hand over the line to Piyush, who will make the opening remarks, and subsequent to which we can have the floor open for Q&A. Over to you, Piyush.
Thanks, Harsh. On behalf of the BPCL team, I welcome you one and all to this post-Q4 result con call. Before we begin, I would like to mention that some of the statements that we would make during this con call may be forward-looking in nature, and we believe that the expectations contained in such statements are reasonable. However, their nature involves a number of risks and uncertainties that may lead to different results. These forward-looking statements represent only the current expectations and beliefs, and we do not provide any assurance that such expectations will prove correct. Since this is quarterly result review, please restrict your questions to the Q4 results. I now request our Director of Finance, Mr. N. Vijay Gopal, who is leading the BPCL team for this call, to make his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Piyush. Good morning. I hope each of you and your family is keeping safe in these trying times. Welcome once again to our quarter four con call. Let me first talk about BPCL's efforts in our nation's valiant fight against COVID-19. In Mumbai, in the west of the country, we are executing a project for supplying approximately 15 tons of oxygen per day to the Municipal Corporation of Greater Mumbai for the planned oxygen cylinder filling facility near refinery premises. In the south, Kochi Refinery is providing gaseous oxygen, power, water, and infrastructure to a 500-bed makeshift COVID treatment center adjacent to its premises in Kerala. BPCL, along with our partner Aprodex, is supplying around 3.5 tons per day of liquid oxygen to government hospitals in Kerala since April 2021. In the heart of the country, Bina, Madhya Pradesh, they are supplying water, oxygen, and associated bottling plant for a 1,000-bed COVID hospital under construction near to the refinery. In UP and Haryana, we are providing cold chain equipment for vaccines. BPCL is supplying 10 numbers of oxygen PSA units to various hospitals across the country and also providing 3,000 oxygen cylinders as well as 1,000 oxygen concentrators. Apart from the above, BPCL is supporting through various welfare schemes, support to district administrations in various locations, infrastructure to hospitals and COVID first-line treatment centers, supply of masks, ambulance facility, medicine, and sanitation kits to the vulnerable sections of the society. Now, coming to our results, I am sure you have been able to go through our handout. I would like to highlight a few key points. A difficult year has drawn to a close with restrictions and social distancing norms in place. As a result, mobility was severely curtailed, resulting in low demand for transportation fuels. In spite of the above, BPCL MS sales in the quarter four of the 2021 were higher by 9.89% as compared to Q4 of the last year. In the case of HSD, it was higher by 5.98% as compared to Q4 of the last year. Coming to FY21-22, while we see gradual abatement of the second wave of COVID-19 that affected demand for our major products in April and especially May, we anticipate Indian economy to grow at least 10% overall this year due to the base effect of 2021. Continued influence of COVID and limited public transport will affect personal transportation growth in first quarter of 21-22. HSD will continue to remain fuel choice for freight aided by Make in India initiatives and recovery in mercantile trade. PPCL has been aggressive in adopting emerging technologies to leverage opportunities even beyond oil and gas space. In order to reduce the hassle of waiting time of CNG customers, we aim to commission about 800 CNG stations. Though domestic aviation sector had improved in quarter four of the last year, scheduled international flights are yet to commence and various restrictions are still in place around the world. Our ATF sales is at around 42% less as compared to Q4 of the previous year's sales. However, there is an increase of 16% in the quarter four as compared to quarter three of the financial year 2021. With increase in vaccinations across the globe and improving business sentiments, the product cracks has improved in the quarter gone by. MS cracks has improved from an average of just 2.97 barrels in quarter three to 5.66 in Q4, and HSD cracks from $3.34 to a barrel to just over $5.78 to a barrel. When we compare the Q4 to Q3 of the year 2021, the Indian basket of crude has increased from $45 to about $60. Indian rupee has appreciated from rupees 74 to rupees 73. BPCL GRM stood at 6.64 to a barrel in Q4 as compared to 2.47 in Q3 and $0.75 to a barrel in Q4 of the previous year. Products cracks have further improved in the first quarter of this year 21-22 over Q4 of the just completed financial year. The refinery throughput, which was around 76% during Q2, increased to 105% of the nameplate capacity in Q3 and further to over 112% in Q4. Throughput for both our refineries was at 26.4 million metric tons for the year, ended 31st March 2021. The refinery throughput have been aligned with demand in the ongoing quarter due to the impact of the second wave of COVID. We have actually been producing about 86 to 87% of nameplate capacity in the month of May 2021. Distillate yield in the quarter four has improved to 85% compared to 84% in Q4 of the previous financial year. For quarter four, BPCL had a record EBITDA of 13,715 crores. Well, it was a mere 552 crores in quarter four of the last year. EBITDA for Q3 stood at rupees 5,401 crores. Profit after tax stood at 11,940 crores as compared to Q4 of last year at rupees 1,361 crores and rupees 2,778 crores for the third quarter of the current year. BPSL has performed to its best ever profit after tax of rupees 19,042 crores for the year ended 31st March 2021. During Q4, BPCL has divested its holding in Numaligarh Refinery Limited after ensuring product security in the eastern region by executing a 15-year product supply agreement with NRL, and the consideration received net of taxes was about 7,982 crores rupees. Sold 12.6 crores treasury shares for rupees 5,250 crores through bulk deals. Further, we have accounted expenditure on ESPS scheme amounting to rupees 941 crores and the cost of VRS scheme amounting to rupees 779 crores for the year. We also provided for impairment of investment in DPRL to the tune of rupees 2,033 crores. Against a capex target of rupees 9,000 crores due to restrictions in the first half of the previous year, we have expended rupees 11,064 crores. During the quarter passed by, we have added 752 retail outlets as compared to 730 in Q3. Thus, we have added 2,444 outlets during the financial year. As of 31st March 2021, with these additions, BPCL has the second highest number of outlets within OMC space, and we also continue to hold the highest throughput per outlet among the OMCs. Two of the three major units of PDPP, that is acrylic acid and oxoalcohol units, and the NSC unit of the MSPP at Cochin have been commissioned in the last quarter of the financial year. We also signed an SPA for acquiring 36.62% shares in BORL held by OQSAOC, which will make BORL a wholly owned subsidiary of BPCL at a consideration of ₹2,399 crores. We expect to complete the formalities of getting the tax rate certificate and close the deal latest by 15th of June of 2021. Our borrowings as on 31st March 2021 is ₹26,315 crores, which has substantially decreased from the peak level of ₹41,875 crores at the end of March 2020. These are excluding the lease obligation amounting to ₹7,845 crores at the end of the current financial year. The debt equity ratio at the end of Q4 is 0.48, down from the level of 0.60 at the end of Q3 and from a high level of 1.26 at the end of the last financial year. As of 31st March 2020, we had around ₹6,200 crores of outstanding receivables from the Government of India, which has been steadily coming down. As on day, the dues amount to a mere less than 300 crores rupees. There is no under-recovery for SKO PDS and minimal subsidy on LPG. I now invite questions and any clarifications you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abdul Sadness from Inside Capital. Go ahead.
My first question relates to staff cost. If I compare the third quarter and fourth quarter staff cost, the numbers have gone up sharply from some 870 crores in third quarter to 1133 in fourth quarter, and the VRS charges in both quarters seem nearly the same. So could you just explain, you know, the reason for the rise? That's the first part of the question. Second thing relating to staff cost, if I exclude the VRS, then the full year cost is around 3,500 crores. If you could provide us with some sort of guidance in terms of what is the sustainable cost, let's say, for FY22, is it going to be up or down relative to 3,700 crores? That's my first question.
Yeah, one of the reasons why the staff cost in the year 2021 has gone up is because we have captured the impact of the VRS, about 779 crores rupees for the whole year. Q3, Q4 is mainly because we have made a modification in one of our welfare schemes, which has resulted in a one-time additional impact of about 350 crores rupees. So since we have actually successfully implemented a VRS scheme in the year 2021, we do not anticipate any major increase in the staff cost in the year 21-22 and going forward, barring the normal increases in the staff cost. We have reduced the number of our employees to a number of about 9,120 as we close the year.
So if I take the staff cost FY21, excluding the VRS, which is 3,700 crores, ballpark, it should be in that range in FY22 as well.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Second question, sir, is on the, could you provide some details on the consolidated debt of BPCL, the standalone, I mean, including the liability, the lease liabilities, I think for standalone, it was 34,000 crores. What is the similar number for consolidated? And ideally, if you could provide some granularity in terms of how much is in PPRL and stuff like that.
borrowings.
So the consolidated amount of debt at group level is around 42,000 crores, and standalone, I'm sure you would have already got the figure from the handout, approximately 26,000 crores, and that excludes the lease amount of around 7,800 crores.
36,000 exclude lease. Can you
support the number? 42,000 crores doesn't include the lease liability, right? Is the lease liability other than in standalone as well?
Correct. Yes, you are right.
Okay. And this wouldn't include BORL, right? So what would be the BORL debt?
That we don't have right now. We'll be happy to answer you offline.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. We would request the participants to please limit your question to two per participant. The next question is from the line of Amit Rustagi from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning and congratulations for a wonderful performance. Sir, my two questions relate that first relating to the treasury stock. We have taken a decision to dispose of the treasury stock in the last quarter. But why we are left with some portion of equity still? So is there any further decision to be taken here? And if you can explain the logic behind this.
All that I can tell you is that we have been able to successfully divest a major part of our treasury shares. A portion remains, and as we have been consistently telling, our view is that BPCL share prices has not reached its potential. So we are waiting for an opportunity, if possible, to dispose of the balance or otherwise retain with us.
Okay, got it, sir. So the second question relates to the recent issue of giving up promotership and selling stake in IGL and Petronet. So could you explain what is the legal position with respect to promotership in these two companies? Can this be just given up by selling some shares, or there is more procedure to be followed, like because I think you must be a part of some shareholders agreement in these two companies?
I can tell you that we have no intention to pay down our stakes which you hold in either IGL or PLL. There would be a need for open offer based on the existing SEBI regulations. We are working closely with the Government of India, and our interests are aligned to ensure how we can avoid a requirement of the open offer, as well as the requirement if the solution is to pay down our stake, how to avoid that, because we have a feeling together with the Government of India that any paring down of the stakes which you hold these companies will be value destructive for BPCL. So I can confirm to you that we have no intention to dilute our stake in either of the two companies. We're working with the government and authorities to how to ensure that the value of BPCL is protected.
Okay, sir. Got it, sir. And sir, just one more question, if you allow me. What is the valuation of the BORL, which we have, valued, and what are the principles being applied in valuing buying this stake, like how much debt and how much projected EBITDA may be, and what is the equity value?
Now, we have already announced the numbers at which we are buying that stake which Omanis are holding. It is 2,400 rupees for a 36.32% stake which Omanis hold today in BORL. We have understanding with them. There is a written agreement is there, binding agreement. We are only waiting for a tax rate certificate which has to come from the tax authorities. Once that is available, we are going to close the deal. And I'm expecting, as I was mentioning, this to happen latest by the 15th of June. So valuation is available in the public domain now.
Okay, got it, sir. Thanks a lot, sir. Thanks for your help in answering the questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vidhaya from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Ethan, go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question was on this, your petrochemical project where you have said you have commissioned a couple of units in fourth quarter of 21. So if you could give us some guidance on what kind of utilization you expect from the petrochemical units in FY22, will it be profitable in FY22, and which could be, when do we expect it to stabilize, and when it stabilizes, what could be the sort of contribution to EBITDA from this project?
So in PDPP project, two units have been commissioned during the last quarter and stabilization is going on. A third unit commissioning activities are going on, for which licensors based in Japan are helping us over video. It is being done virtually. So over the second half of the year, the production should be ramped up, and on an annual basis, we are expecting a GRM of contribution of around $1.
This is on stabilization or in the current year?
No, no, post-stabilization.
Okay, so once the unit stabilizes, contribute about $1 to your, so that kind of profitability.
Yes.
Okay. And my second question is on the, what is the profitability and GRM of Numaligarh and BORM in Q4 and full year?
Numaligarh GRM is $45 per barrel because you have an excise duty benefit. Mm-hmm. And what was the second question?
BORL.
GRM is for the fourth quarter is $8.
And what is the profit loss of both?
Profit up to March 25th for NRL is around 900 crores. And for BORL for the quarter is 144 crores.
This 900 NRL is just Q4.
Q4.
Yeah. And what is the full year number?
Full year is around 3,000 crores.
3,048 crores.
Okay. And what about, this I didn't catch the number for BRL, if you could give me.
BRL quarter is 144 crores. That is Q4.
And full year?
It is a loss of 76 crores.
Okay. And do you see this change of ownership resulting in change of fortunes in BRL? Do you think that was going to help?
It will help. It will help improve the bottom line.
Thank you. I'll come for more questions later.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varatharajan Shivashankaran from Antique Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. A couple of questions. On Bina Refinery, do we still have the VAT benefit, sales tax benefit going on? How many years it is spending? And secondly, the impairment we have provided for, is it only relevant, you know, pertaining to Mozambique or any other asset as well?
Yeah. Your question was on BORL sales tax benefits. It will continue. We are in dialogue with the Madhya Pradesh government. We have already availed the benefit on CST completely. On the VAT benefit, we have already availed a substantial portion, almost 1,300 crores remain to be availed as a deferment, which will continue. The question on BPRL impairment is on account of various factors, including some of the blocks we are decided to relinquish from. And another reason is that the value in use of the other blocks which are in service, which is going to give benefit to us in future, is today, at the current look, outlook, does not appear to warrant keeping this at the carrying cost. So we have recognized the impairment for the year. And depending on the outlook of prices, the impairment provision to that extent can be also reversed if the situation improves.
Would it be possible for you to give you any kind of idea about how much of this would be Mozambique?
No, there is nothing for Mozambique.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Yes Securities. Please go ahead.
Morning, sir. Thanks for giving me the opportunity, but my questions are answered. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sabri Hazarika from NK Global. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. So I have two questions. First is on Bina Refinery. So from what we know, Bina Refinery stake, although for Oman Oil it is 36% which was stated, but if we adjust for the warrants, etc., then I think the effective stake of BPCL is close to 80%. So is it the right way to assess that key on this 20% or 18-19% stake of Oman Oil, this 2400 crore valuation has been done, or is there some other way to look into it?
No, actually, it is 36.32%. When we buy, it becomes a 100% subsidiary of Bharat Petroleum. Nobody else have share capital in that company. Government of Madhya Pradesh has warrants which can convert 2.63% of the diluted share capital, which we are also in discussions with them, and we have agreed to buy the stake. So our idea is to actually buy and keep this as a 100% subsidiary as a prelude to merger of the company BPCL, which has got a tremendous value in this potential for BPCL. Since we know that this is 0.32 crores value, it's a question of finding out, grossing it to 100% to find the value which we have considered for this valuation.
Including the warrants which are outstanding?
Yes.
Okay, and secondly, this BORL used, is having a product shipment cost which is part of the OPEX. I think unlike other refineries, the refineries which are products which are coming from BORL, I think the cost has to be borne by BORL itself rather than the BPCL. So that is continuing right now, right? And post merger, will there be any change of it? And what was the OPEX for the refinery in FY21?
I can answer the first part. That is, it is a policy of the oil marketing companies that the stand-alone refineries will bear the cost of any irrecoverable taxes for transportation of the finished products. It is not unique to BORL. So that will continue. Till such time the merger happens, then it is, there is no CST.
OPEX?
No, yes. Regarding the refinery OPEX of BORL, particularly for Q4, it was 174 crores.
Okay, it was 174 crores for BORL. No, I was not asking about irrecoverable taxes. I was asking about the freight from the refinery to the marketing division.
Net back, ma'am, and the income of freight.
This question will take it offline.
Okay, and lastly, you mentioned that all the benefits, both CST as well as VAT, both of them are, that is continuing. I mean, it was there in FY21 also, and FY22 also, you are expecting it to continue. And this 1300 crore of deferment annually, which you are talking about, right?
No, I don't understand the question. I would like to please clarify that once BORL is part of BPCL, there is no question of any net back adjustment and such things. Today we are two different companies. There is a methodology to buy the products from them and then onwards sell this. Once BORL becomes BPCL, there is no question of anything that we are going to pay to BORL. It becomes my product. I sell my product just as the way I'm selling products which are produced in Mumbai refinery or Kochi refinery. So there will be no element other than the cost of crude oil and conversion costs as my cost, and the realization as I get from the market.
Right, and the tax benefits will continue, you mentioned, right? It has not expired.
The tax benefits which has been promised by the government of Madhya Pradesh for the remaining period in terms of deferment will continue.
And that is still how long?
That is a value limit of 3,750 crores rupees deferment, and they have given 2,300 crores already. So balance is 1,400 crores rupees. That will continue.
Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you so much. I'll get back.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Patel from IIFL Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Can you just inform about the status of the petchem project, the commissioning, and you know, little bit on the economics also, please?
So as we had mentioned earlier, the PDPP project, two units, it contains three major units. Two units is already commissioned in Q4 of last year, and the third unit, acrylic acid unit, which has Japanese licensor, the commissioning activities are going on.
Acrylics.
Acrylics. So post commissioning stabilization is going on for the first two units, and we'll be ramping up production only in the second half of the year. And the expected GRM on a yearly basis would be around $1.
And the two commission units are already producing and generating operating profits?
As I said, it is still under stabilization stage.
So, say in 6 months' time when everything is up and running, what kind of operating profits you expect from this entire complex of petchem?
On an annual basis, we expect a GRM of $1.
GRM addition of $1. That's the incremental value creation coming out of this complex, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Probal Sen from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Two questions. One was with respect to CAPEX. Obviously, some part of the plans may be subject to, you know, whatever happens to divestment. But barring that, what are the projects that are already approved and in process? If you can give some details of what will happen in FY22 and 23.
So, CAPEX for financial year 21-22 is planned something around at 12,000 crores. Alright, and I can give you a broad breakup of it. Like for refinery, it would be somewhere around 3,000 crores. For petchem, it would be around 1,000 crores. For marketing, it would be somewhere around 4,000 crores. While remaining for equity investments, it would be around 1,300 crores for BPRL. And remaining around so 1,800 crores would be other projects.
So that was my question, sir. Within refinery and petchem, if you can just give a very broad listing of which are the projects to be undertaken in the 3,000 crore and 1,000 crore.
In refinery, we have two projects ongoing in Mumbai, that is KHT and LOX revamp project. The total cost of these two projects is around 1,200 crores. Then in Kochi, we have the MSBP project balance commissioning and other activities going on. The total cost of MSBP is 3,289 crores.
And just to add further, there would be some expenditure on polyols unit in KR and also a 2G bioethanol refinery in Orissa.
2G bioethanol. Okay. So the other question was with respect to the impairment. It was just stated that there has been no impairment taken in Area 1 in project in Mozambique. Can you give us a sense of what you have heard from the main executive, which is I think Total, about the status of the force majeure and what is happening on the ground?
No, we have already given a detailed press statement, and as of now the activities on the ground has been stopped due to the violence which has happened there. But the other activities, engineering side, is happening outside Mozambique, which is continuing. So we have no reasons to believe that this project will be delayed inordinately. It is possible that there could be a delay of from 6 months to 1 year for completion of this project at this stage.
6 months to 1 year delay. And that's the reason we have not taken any impairment as of now.
Yeah, we don't find any restriction value on account of this delay.
Okay. So last question, if I may slip in. You talked about, I think, 800 CNG stations planned, if I'm not mistaken. Can you tell us about the investment required and what is the total CGD investment we're looking to do in the next 2 years?
See, we don't have exact number for the expenditure per se on these 800 outlets. However, we have targeted to put approximately 800 and 629 we have already commissioned. Other than that, with respect to CGD, we had commissioned CNG sales and PNG sales in Rupnagar. Further to that, we in Rohtak we had commissioned CNG sales. And this quarter in Ahmednagar and Aurangabad also, we had commissioned CNG sales. So approximately 36 number of retail outlets we have already put, which are specifically for this gas business per se.
Okay. All right, sir. That's all from my side. I'll come back if I have more questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of S. Ramesh from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Thank you and congratulations on the good results. The first question is, if you look at the consolidated balance sheet, you have not provided for minority interest, whereas the P&L you have provided. So can we assume that the FY21 balance sheet you have given is excluding NRL in total? And secondly, when can we expect the pro forma, P&L excluding NRL, so that, we can reconcile our FY21 numbers excluding NRL when we do the forecast?
Yeah, actually, NRL, that ceased to be a subsidiary from 26th March onwards. That was the reason there is no minority interest in the consolidated balance sheet, because there is no other subsidiary which are having NCA other than NRL. But in respect of P&L, definitely up to 25th March, it is our subsidiary. The P&L related components have been consolidated in the P&L. So in case if you want any excluding NRL, what will be the profitability, maybe in the Q1, you can have that comparatives.
Okay. So the balance sheet you have given, we can assume is it's completely, excluding the discontinued business.
Right.
It's not a clarity.
Right.
Okay. The second thought is, now when you talk about the petrochemical business, you have given a figure of $1 per barrel as the GRM upside. So does it include the spreads on the petrochemical products, or is it only on the propylene value addition?
It is at the refinery transfer pricing.
Yeah, so you will also get some spreads on the acrylic acid and the oxo alcohol. So what is the kind of spreads you are expecting for that? Because that will also add to your bottom line, right?
Yeah, we won't be able to give a number on the marketing margins right now.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pinakin Parekh from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. My two questions, sir. Recently, there were media reports that the financial due diligence related to the privatization has started. So, sir, can you confirm if the data room has been opened up and management has been meeting with the potential bidders related to privatization? And my second question is on IGL and Petronet. Assuming SEBI were not to give any waiver and BPCL management does not want to sell down the stakes, then does it mean that the privatization would be off the table? Because it's very difficult to see any potential buyer putting up billions of dollars in open offers for those two companies where it would not have any operational control.
Okay. First question on the data room. I can confirm that we have opened a virtual data room on the 10th of April, and the qualified interested parties are seeing those data rooms, and a number of queries have come from them. We are in the process of answering those queries. Second question on IGL, I've already clarified, and I will repeat what I have told, is that we have no intention to sell down our stake in IGL PLL. So other questions are hypothetical at this stage. You please wait for how we are going to solve this.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Manikantha Gare from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thanks for providing the opportunity and congratulations on good set of numbers. Sir, first question is, what is the total equity investment in Mozambique LNG project so far?
The project cost is around 20 billion.
Our investment made so far in Mozambique.
We'll answer offline, but during the last financial year, we have added an equity infusion of 1,156 crores. BPRL.
Okay, so we don't have numbers specifically for Mozambique LNG, which has been done so far.
Yes.
Okay, I'll check with you on that later, sir. And the second question is, can you please?
Mozambique numbers are actually we have spent on Mozambique project at BPRL $1.2 billion, amounting to 9,000 crores rupees so far.
Okay, so just from clarity, sir, if the project cost is $20 billion, 10% is a stake and 2:1 is a debt to equity ratio, then our equity contribution should be less than $1 billion, right, sir?
No, it is actually $20 billion is the development expenditure. We had spent quite an amount of money on the exploration of Mozambique to reach this level. So when we talk about $20 billion, it is after exploration and appraisal of the wells. We are going for a development phase of a certain portion of the Mozambique. Mozambique holds a huge volume of gas of about 75 TCF. We are actually first taking a portion of this for development. That development cost for putting up two LNG trains cost is $20 billion. $20 billion means 10% of that will be $2 billion. But we have certain arrangement to carry the government-owned companies there. So it's a slightly complicated thing. So you won't be able to get exactly straightforward answers. I am only telling you now that we have invested in Mozambique $1.2 billion. Going forward for the development part of that, our share is 10%. It will be we'll spend about $2.4 billion or and above this. And going forward for subsequent trains, it will be more and more money investment. It will be a huge project. But the second train is put up, first and second, subsequent developments will come out of the cash flows which can come from the first and second trains.
Understand. So basically, just to clarify, on top of $1.2 billion, we are going to invest $2.4 billion more. Is that what you are saying?
Yes.
Understand. Yes. The second question, sir, your peers have started highlighting renewables, biofuels, and EV charging stations. Wanted to check your thought process there, and this is something that we should wait for the disinvestment to happen.
So with respect to EV charging stations and all, BPCL has till now set up around 40 EV charging stations and some 7 battery swapping stations in different cities, but these numbers are small because we are doing it mainly to accumulate learning, because we believe that MS and HSD are here to stay for quite some time. Accordingly, our investment is pretty minuscule to just accumulate the earnings and implement. And I think we have already shared the numbers of CNG outlets, 629 outlets we have commissioned, and one 2G ethanol refinery also we are putting up, that is in Orissa.
Just to add to that, we'll be putting up 800 CNG stations in the future.
See, when we say CNG stations, it's addition to existing retail outlets.
Yes.
So therefore, they're getting a feeling that we are investing huge amounts. It is not that if we have existing vehicle outlets, we'll be adding CNG stations in that outlet. It's not that we are going to put up a new outlet for CNG on its own. So the investment may not be that high.
So this 800 is on top of 629. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. And the last question is if you can break up the FY21 capex.
Want the actual capex for, or do you want the planned capex?
No,
21
capex.
FY21 capex by segment.
So FY21 capex, approximately some 3,000 crores we have done in refinery, some 1,000 crores in petchem, some 5,000 crores in marketing, and in BPRL we have done equity investment of some 1150 crores. And the remaining projects, including pipelines, is around 1,100 crores. So total comes to some 11,064 crores.
Understood. So thank you so much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Reliance Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. In yesterday's press release note, mentioned that NRL is sold at a consideration of 9,875 crore. However, gains arising from the sale of equity share is 9,422 crore. So gains are lesser by close to 450 crore. Is that because of tax part or some other accounting adjustment?
That is a cost we paid in investment. See, 9876 is the realization. 400 is the cost which we paid for getting that stake in NRL way back in 1993-94. Tax is about 2,000 crores, capital gains tax. So the net realization is 7,876 crores. We have to reduce the cost of investment, that is 400 crores.
What? Okay, so the tax part was close to 2,000 crore and the net realization is close to 7,000 crore.
7,876 crores minus 400 crores.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for clarity. And the second question relates to dividend side. A bumper dividend declared of rupees 58 per share, including a special dividend of 35 rupees per share. So is that a right interpretation? The remaining part of 23 rupees per share was a normal part of that bumper dividend. And going forward, can we expect that 23 rupees will continue with the interim dividend also?
No, we cannot assure any investor of a continued certain rupees per share of dividend because dividend is a function of the profits. Since we had a record profit this year, we have given 21 rupees to interim dividends plus 23 rupees as a balanced portion of the normal profits. So if the profit remains at these levels, sans NRL, you can expect a similar dividend payout because we have been having the practice of handsomely dividing the shareholders. NRL type divestment is unlikely to happen in the future. Therefore, that 35 rupees, which represents roughly the NRL divestment, will not happen. Rest of it depends on the profit because my profit after NRL is excluded is about 11,000 crores PAT. So if my PAT next year is 11,000 crores, you can expect a similar dividend amount. But I am not assuring that because a dividend is a function of various things, including the capex requirements and other matters. So we have a practice of rewarding the investors richly, and that will continue. I cannot put a number to the next year's dividend at this stage.
Okay, thanks for giving clarity, sir. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Shah from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity, sir. Just one question, I think I missed it. Could you just tell me the FY22 capex plan, please?
Yes, FY22 capex plan total comes to around 12,000 crores, of which refinery is around, I'll give you broad figures, refinery is around 3,000 crores, petchem is around 1,000 crores, marketing is around 4,000 crores, BPRL investment is around 1,300 crores, gas is around 550 crores and the remaining 1,300 is for the others.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vishnu Kumar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for your time. So if you could comment on the cracks of some of the heavies, especially base oil and lubricants during the quarter, was it abnormally high? And if you could also tell about the current trends.
No, we won't give the cracks on products which are not sensitive, as a policy.
Okay, but at least directionally it was much better, at least. Is that a right assessment?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And generally on the other products, how are you seeing the trends, sir?
No, our crack spreads on MS and HST for the fourth quarter was the best in the last financial year. And we are seeing that crack spreads further improving in the first quarter of the year 21-22.
Got it. So in terms of the data room which you had opened, would this include even the BPRL also? My question is more in terms of you've been making a lot of organizational changes and we have been divesting some assets. So would BPRL also be something that you would be considering to carve out at certain point in time or would the incoming investor would also be looking for BPRL as well?
No, we have not divested any of our assets excepting our holding in Numaligarh Refinery, which was part of the original decision of the Government of India announced in November of 2020 when they announced their intention to sell the stake which holds in BPCL. We have not done any divestment and the CCA decision is selling of Bharat Petroleum less the shares which BPC holds in NRL. So that position continues. And therefore, BPRL data is part of the data.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maulik Patel from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just to continue to the earlier question, you mentioned that the data room was opened on 10th of April and you are in the process to answer their questions. So once this particular process got over, what is next after that? Can you just help us with the process guideline?
Yeah. On the timelines, the question only can be answered by the DPAM. What I understand, the next steps, as I understand, is that once they are ready with the data room and they study the data, they have expressed a desire to have an intensive discussion with the senior manager in the BPCL. And due to the regulatory issues, since the accounts closing was going on and the board meeting to declare results was there, we are told that we are not ready till 28th of May due to the SEBI regulations. So they will actually, if they decide, they can have a discussion with people like us. And then they have also expressed a desire to have a physical inspection of our major facilities. So this is actually held up now because of the travel restrictions. International flights are not allowed to come into India. And once these two are over, it is time for them to submit the financial bill. And then thereafter follows the DPAM procedures, how to evaluate the bids and get the necessary approvals, reserve price fixation and so on, before a SPA is signed. Incidentally, the draft SPA approved by the CGD, which is the highest decision-making body in the country for this matter, has already been shared with the qualified interested parties.
Okay, great, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Vora from Smart Sun Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. A very good morning to you. Firstly, sir, congratulations on a fantastic set of results in a very challenging and a tough year. Sir, I would really wish BPCL and all its families to please stay safe in these tough and challenging times. Sir, coming now to my questions. Sir, if I heard correctly, you said that you commissioned 2,400 outlets. So, sir, what is the total outlets we have currently? And, sir, similarly, for the current financial year, are you also looking to commission the same outlets? Sir, secondly, my question was on the, if you can please help me understand on the CNG outlets. So, sir, if you have about 18,000 outlets, so can we commission CNG outlets also on the existing outlets we have, sir?
Yeah. First is that we have commissioned 2,444 outlets in this financial year, taking the total outlets we have to 18,637. So as of 31st March, we have 18,637. We are not having a practice of actually adding to the outlets just for the sake of it. So we have already added about 4,000 outlets in the last 2 years, 1,447 outlets in the year 1920, and 2,444 this year. We will increase, but not to this extent in the year 21-22. That's the first part. Secondly, your question apparently is that do we have intention or capability to add a CNG facility in all the outlets? Answer is no. Because CNG is available only in certain parts of the country. Government is trying to expand that foothold of the CNG availability in cities, but it is essentially an urban phenomenon. So it is there in Mumbai, it is there in Pune, it is there in Delhi, it is there in Bangalore, it is there in Chennai, and in cities which are also expanding, and certain other places like Haridwar and other places. Wherever there is CNG availability or a pipeline connectivity only, there is the possibility of having a CNG outlets, right? So it is not possible to have CNG outlets in all the outlets we have. So we are moving in stages, as she explained, we have only done 600 plus, we are having intention to add 800 in the next year. So it is a long journey ahead.
Okay. And sir, I mean, if I may ask one question more, can I ask, sir?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, sir, basically, I mean, on the point which you made prior to this was, you know, on the physical inspection, you know, of the assets. So, sir, if you can just, you know, help us vaguely understand, I mean, could this be, you know, because it's anyone's guess, right? I mean, international flights, you know, have not opened for the last 1 year, you know, for all countries. So, if you can, sir, broadly help us understand the timelines of this, I mean, you know, just a vague indication kind, because, you know, how the current scenario is.
No, that has been clarified by the Honorable Finance Minister onwards. So I don't want to put a timeline on this because this process is not driven by Bharat Petroleum. The disinvestment of the BPCL stake is driven by Government of India and the department which is responsible for is DIPAM. You can direct this question to Mr. Tuhin Pandey.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much and wish you all the best, sir. And please stay safe, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chinmay. Chinmay Gandhi, please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. My question, if you can just help me out in understanding. So basically with respect to the submission of financial bid, so that would be saying how many days after the physical inspection, because any light you can throw on that?
Depends on the way the investors see and the timelines which DIPAM is going to ask for. So we don't handle that job, as I repeated.
But as far as your information, so right now there is no specific timeline say with X number of days after inspection. So that has not been said.
Like the finance minister and DIPAM secretary already, this is in the public domain. So I don't want to comment or make any further statements to add to the confusion which you are trying to create.
Okay. The interpretation I wanted in terms of the setting up of the reserve pile, which is a process which will be after the submission of the financial bid, and before the opening of the financial bid. So I mean, what is your opinion on that? I mean, ideally it should have been like before the submission of the financial.
No, there is a process available under the DIPAM guidelines for submission of financial bids, for arriving at the reserve price, and authorities who are to approve all these processes, which is available in the public domain in the DIPAM's website.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Iqbal Khan from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for providing this opportunity. So, congratulations for the very good set of results. Now, there's a couple of bookkeeping questions, as several other questions you've already answered. So, could you please help me with the refinery run rate in this quarter and prior quarter, and what is it in April and May? I think for the May, you have said 85 to 90%. So, I just wanted that. And the GRM at Numali, the refinery and BORL on in this quarter and for the full year. Sorry if I missed this, if you have already spoken about this.
Can you repeat that first part of the question?
The run rate, the overall refinery utilization in this quarter and prior quarter. For the month of April and May, as you see the refinery run rate, because of the lockdown, I think the refinery run rates have lowered across the OMC. So just wanted to know a number for BPCL. And the second one is regarding the GRM of Maligarh and BOR, quarterly and full year.
So the refinery run rates for last quarter was 112% of the nameplate capacity, and Q3 it was around 96%. As on date, because of the severe wave of second wave of COVID, it is currently around 86%. And on
the GRM front, for BORL, the GRM for the quarter is 8.3, while for NRL, for the quarter is 45.12, which is including the excise duty benefit.
Okay. And for the full year basis?
For the full year 2021, for BORL it is 6.2, while for NRL it is 37.23, again which is including the excise duty benefit.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayank Maheshwari from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Sir, I had two questions. One was related to the adjusted GRM of Kochi, which has been now below even Mumbai refinery. So I just wanted to understand the additional $1 per barrel that we get out of petchem. Can Kochi actually come back to the full level of profitability that we were thinking at the time of the upgrade?
For the full, whatever plans we had at the time of upgrade, for that to be received, you should have a Brent-Dubai differential of over $2. So currently, Brent-Dubai differential is around $1. So it will take some more time. Otherwise, physical, the refinery throughput is always about nameplate capacity. Of course, due to the severe restrictions and COVID, nameplate capacity has been moderated in line with the demand.
So is it fair to say that at least I think we can get Kochi refinery's GRM adjusted numbers at least towards the Mumbai refinery level at some point of time?
Yes. Yes, of course. That is our desire. In fact, Mumbai, compared to Mumbai refinery, Cochin is a more modern refinery, more complexity. We have got all the flexibilities inbuilt already. It's a modern refinery. It should deliver more margins because we have invested quite a lot of amount there. But the prices are ultimately determining the profits of the refinery, global prices. The prices levels are now not favorably in line to the high sulfur crude oil processing, which will give more money from Kochi refinery because they have got the petchem and not only petchem facility, they have also got delayed coker facility of a high capacity and several other features. So that is, we are waiting for the better times to come for Kochi.
So my second question was related to the marketing side. If you can just tell us of how has been your market share on gasoline, diesel kind of spend having versus the other OMC?
So for Jan to March quarter, our growth market share is around 24%. And the growth over quarter of last year is MS was 9.89%, HSP is around 6%.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Ajay Bodke, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. Congratulations, you know, for posting very good set of numbers. Do the bidders have the option to add members to their consortium? If yes, at what stage? I think till what stage can they add members to the consortium? And secondly, although you've answered this question in reply to one of the previous questions on BPRL, the Government of India has a policy of focusing on energy security for the country. And BPCL has over the years built a large number of upstream assets all over the world. So in view of that, is there a likelihood of the government asking BPCL to consider divestment of the upstream assets before the privatization happens? I know you've answered that the CCA only has allowed the divestment of Numaligarh as per the current approval that they have. But has there been any correspondence between the government and the management on the upstream assets? Thank you very much, sir.
I will answer the last portion of the question, which is much more simpler. I can confirm to you that there is no correspondence from the Government of India to BPCL for actually asking whether we have an interest in divesting of BPRL before divestment happens. It is very unlikely that it will happen because it is too late in the day for making changes in the terms and conditions under which bids have been invited. I am not ruling out any possibilities because I am not deciding the sale, because sale is a matter of decision taken by the Government of India. There is no intention, as far as we know at this stage, of the Government of India to make any further divestment of any of the portfolios and assets and JVs in which BPCL has interest. Now, to the other question which you raised is a matter which is handled only by DIPAM. We don't enter the tendering and the modifications in the PIM
and the flexibility given to the bidders to add and the timelines given for them to add to the consortium are all enshrined in the PIM document. And we do not get access to how the government deals with the bidders who have already been identified and qualified.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Sir, lastly, have the bidders sought any clarification from the government or the management on allowing a free hand on pricing of petrol products in view of the intermittent, intervention by the government whenever different state elections are announced, and also in case of provision of subsidized LPG cylinders?
Yeah. Actually, the bidders have a right to ask the government these questions, because we don't have answers for questions like this, because these are in the policy domain of the government of India. Two things I can tell general answers which may or may not satisfy you. One is that the subsidy for LPG is almost disappeared now. Government has been taking a very serious and series of steps to increase the prices of LPG domestic gradually over the last couple of years. From the end of May of 2020, there is no subsidy which is there on the domestic LPG as well. So the question of subsidy on LPG may not be a question that will be bothering the potential bidders. Secondly, their apprehension of government's intervention or government's signals to government companies on pricing of the products at certain stages and all are concerns which are legitimate. But then once the BPCL, which has got, though she mentioned 24.5% overall market share, we have about 29% market share in transportation fuels like MS and HSD, which is going to increase to some 31% in the next 1 or 2 years. With private sector holding 12% share, BPCL holding 31% share, with a 43% free market, it will be difficult for the government to continue to give signals to government companies on the pricing of what they call as sensitive petroleum products, because the government policy is free pricing given to them. The policy is very clear. Cabinet approved policy is very clear that the government does not influence the pricing, but we have a policy and we have a principle and we have a duty to ensure that increases in the prices are not passed on to the consumers as it happens when the volatility is very high, because it has a potential to affect the consumers in India. We have also a duty to protect their interests. In a pandemic like last time, our marketing margins were low. When the things changed, the normalcy was restored, we were able to recoup the losses and we had a decent marketing margin for the whole of the year 2021. So we have a commercial way of understanding the pulse of the consumers, as well as the need to ensure that we have a decent margin, because we are investing heavily in the industry. So commercial considerations will ensure that the so-called interventions of the government of India at certain times are reduced considerably. They have a legitimate right to ask the questions. I don't know whether they have asked these questions. They have a right to ask and they have a right to get a response from the government of India. We are not privy to that.
So thank you so much for your detailed answer. And just a last thought. I think the Honorable Director of Finance, in his reply to CNBC today morning, did indicate that the process of privatization should get wrapped up by December, with a delay at most of one quarter. So is that the stance that the company management still holds?
That is Director Finance's assessment of the current situation. It may or may not hold.
So thank you very much, sir, and wishing you all the best for FY22.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Harshvardhan Dole. So you may go ahead, please.
Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Securities, I sincerely thank BPCL management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Really appreciate this, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Thank you. On behalf of IIFL Capital Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.